Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to take a look at a prophetical event concerning the end times. Of course, we're in the end times now. Maybe you've never looked at it this way before, but think about what the earth was like before electricity was discovered. Up until a couple of hundred years ago, and even in this last 100 years, we have gone from ox cart to putting man on the moon. For thousands of years, mankind has lived with horse and wagon, but it's only in these last days of earth that we have seen inventions beyond belief. Many of us older folks have parents or relatives which drove horse and buggy, and the extensive use of automobiles did not really take place until the early part of the last century. However, have you ever thought about the significance that electrical energy plays in the inventions of science and technology? There's hardly an invention in these last 100 years that does not rely on electricity in either its use or in its manufacture. Even the biological sciences require knowledge of positive and negative forces, and it's certain that man could never have stepped foot on the moon had it not been for the development of electrical technology. Of course, everyone knows these facts, and what I'm saying is nothing new at all. However, what I would like you to recognize today is that electrical energy is exactly what the Bible refers to in the book of Revelation. Listen to Revelation 13, 11 to 13, and see if you can comprehend what God is trying to tell us. It says, "And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now, if you listen to this program very much, you've probably heard me talking about the second beast and how this second beast has been allowed to bring great tribulation against God's people, and that it is a tribulation which wars more against our faith than against our flesh. Yes, we continue to experience tribulation to our physical bodies, but this has always happened since the beginning of time. However, the tribulation which Christians are facing in these last days is the tribulation against our faith. It's not just our bodies of flesh and blood that Satan is destroying, but he is actually in the process of trying to destroy the souls of Christians everywhere. But the destruction is not physical, it is spiritual. And the weapons at Satan's disposal are not calculated to destroy our flesh, but to destroy our hearts by destroying our faith in God. He does this by overwhelming us with a worldly perspective which is contrary to God and to God's Word. Day after day we are bombarded with a worldly viewpoint, and eventually this destroys our understanding of God's Word. The lies of Satan are subtle, and God's people do not realize the impact that the media has on Christians. Newspapers, magazines, television, and movies completely brainwash the people of earth, and the concepts of faith and the understanding of how to worship God in spirit have largely been lost. In addition, the inventions that earth's people have created have allowed the animal nature in man to rise to new levels, causing an erosion of faith like never before. Previous to this last 100 years, there has never been such an onslaught of evil. The temptations of television and movies alone are the greatest tools Satan has in his arsenal. But there are many other devices which test our faith. Shop until you drop has become a favorite byword, and every person you or I know has been tempted to get as much of the luxuries of earth rather than being content with the heavenly things of God. Television and movies are the main avenue Satan uses to advertise his delicacies, and science is continually inventing some new toy or gadget that everyone thinks they just have to have. And at the very core of these scientific inventions is the discovery and harnessing of electricity, which Revelation 13:13 refers to as pulling down fire from heaven. However, notice one interesting point here. When the Bible talks about the miracles that the second beast of Revelation is able to do, it only mentions one specific miracle, and that is the miracle of pulling fire down from heaven. Now, we know that God can bring fire down from heaven. There are several instances in the Bible where we read about this. One of the most notable passages is the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. Now, I know that this Bible story is probably one of the most familiar ones, but let me take a minute and outline it for you anyway. To start with, there had been a famine in the land of Israel, and this had been the result of God's decree. Elijah had prophesied to King Ahab, who was the king of Israel's 10 northern tribes, that there would be no rain for some years except as God decreed. This was because of the extreme wickedness of the children of Israel. In fact, their wickedness was so great that they had ceased, for the most part, to worship God at all, and had begun to worship Baal, the god of the Sidonians. In fact, King Ahab had taken Jezebel, the daughter of the king of the Sidonians, as wife. Now, everyone has heard of Jezebel. She was especially wicked and had encouraged Ahab in the worship of this idol. Now, after the famine which Elijah had prophesied had become extremely severe, God sent Elijah to the king with instructions for a contest to see who the true God really was. What followed was a gathering of all the prophets of Baal, King Ahab, and many of the people of Israel. Then Elijah spoke to the people and asked them how long they were going to be undecided as to who was the most powerful, the Lord God of heaven or Baal. He said, "If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." The people didn't say a word, but just stood there and watched to see what would happen. Now, think of this. The people were so deceived at that time that they were worshiping Baal, and they didn't even recognize that Baal was just an idol of stone or metal. They had gone so far away from God that their knowledge of God had deteriorated until they could no longer recognize God for who he really was. So, as the Bible tells us, the prophets of Baal built an altar and placed a bull calf on it as a sacrifice. What they were trying to do was to call down fire from heaven in order that their sacrifice would be burned up. Now, if they could call fire down from heaven and consume the sacrifice, then their god, Baal, would be established as the most powerful god. However, as Elijah explained, if it was God who sent fire down from heaven, then God himself would be vindicated and established as the Almighty God. The people stood watching to see who the real God really was. The prophets of Baal worked all day trying to get their god to hear them, but no fire came down from heaven. They even cut themselves in hopes that their bloodletting would cause their god to become sympathetic to them. It was a trial between two gods, one a god of stone, and the other the Lord of heaven. In the end, the prophets of Baal failed to get results. Baal lacked the power to bring fire down from heaven, and the sacrifice was not consumed. Then, late in the afternoon, it was Elijah's turn. He built up the altar of God there on the top of Mount Carmel that had been broken down, and placed the sacrifice upon it along with the wood. Then he commanded water to be poured over it until everything was drenched completely. The water even filled a trench that had been dug around the altar. In this way, the people would know that it was not a chance spark that would consume the sacrifice. Then, kneeling upon the ground, Elijah prayed to God, and suddenly the fire from heaven came down and consumed the sacrifice, and even consumed the stones of the altar and licked up the water in the trench around the altar. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to what the people said who had been watching to see what would happen. When the fire came down from God out of heaven and consumed everything, the people exclaimed, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Now, do you realize what took place? The people had been deceived. They weren't just being obstinate and worshiping Baal knowledgeably, but they had actually gone so far from God that they no longer even knew that the God of heaven was the true God. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they realized that truly the Lord, He was God. They were awestruck. They were amazed. Imagine a people of God going so far from God that they no longer realized that they had strayed that far from the truth. However, this is exactly what many of the people in today's church have done. We have many people and many churches who no longer have an extensive knowledge of God. And in some cases, there is so little understanding that they are actually serving the God of this world instead of the God of heaven. But the reason that the deception is so great in these last days is because Satan has finally been able to pull the fire of the heavens down onto the earth. No, the fire is not used to burn animal sacrifices, but is used to create energy to fuel the science and technology of Earth's people in order that the faith of God's children would be destroyed. Now, please take this slow and think about it. It's important. The deception is so great in these last days that very few people realize the extent of it. In the days of Elijah, the famine was very great because there had been no rain. However, what I would like you to see is that famine can also be spiritual as well as being a famine for food. Here, let me read you something. It's found in Amos 8, 11 and 12, and it says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." In the days of Elijah, the famine had been so great that the livestock were all dying. The people had no food. Yet, even in those days, we can see very plainly that the people were also experiencing a famine for the Word of God. When Elijah told the people that they were worshiping the wrong God, they scorned him. No one believed that they were deceived. They actually believed that Baal really was the Supreme Lord. They worshiped an idol, but thought that their idol was really a living God. They were greatly deceived, but of course, they didn't know to what extent they were deceived. And here's something to think about. When deception comes, you don't realize you are deceived. It is only when the deception is taken away that you will recognize how greatly you were deceived. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, Days of Elijah. It was a fairly popular Christian song and still is. However, what most people do not realize is that the days we live in now are also the days of Elijah. God's people are deceived into thinking that a social religion is sufficient to please God. God's people are deceived into thinking that being occupied with the delights of this modern world is acceptable in the eyes of God. God's people have lost the ability to recognize how much they are worshiping idols. Yet, idol worship is nothing more than adultery against God. If a woman goes to another man in order to obtain gifts from him, then she has committed adultery. When God's bride goes to the god of this world to obtain gifts from him, it is idolatry. Just because people don't bow down to an idol of stone or wood does not mean that idolatry no longer exists. People are caught up in idolatry when they love the dainty and sumptuous delights from the god of this world more than the heavenly things of God. Satan loves to give us presents, and, sad to say, many of God's people are in bed with the world. They love the inventions of this world, which stimulate their fleshly appetite more than they like the heavenly things of God. Yet God says that if we worship Him, then we must worship Him not only in the truth of His Word, but also in spirit. Most Christians seem to have a greater emotional tie to the scientific and technological inventions of this earth than they do for the heavenly things of God. And Satan knows that the only way he can get us to leave God is by offering us things that will give us greater pleasure than godly things. And this is where the miracle of fire from heaven comes in. The harnessing of electricity is what Satan has wanted all along. He doesn't work by the power of God's word, and he doesn't accomplish his goals by the Spirit of God, as we can plainly see by the example of Elijah on Mount Carmel. He does his work through the physical strength of might and power. This is why Satan could not win the battle on the top of Mount Carmel. He could not bring the fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifice in response to the requests of the prophets of Baal, because he does not have the power to create or manipulate just by the spoken word like God can. However, in these last days, God has allowed Satan to expand Earth's scientific knowledge, and through this physical power base, he has been able to create a system where men can manipulate the fire of the heaven according to their own will, but only from the perspective of logic and fact. There is no faith involved in it. It is pure physical logic through scientific means. The warfare that is being waged in the midst of God's people is a warfare between the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit. God tells us to set our affections on things above, but Satan tempts us with earthly delights. And by using the fire of the heavens, Satan has enabled the people of earth to create every kind of human stimulation imaginable. Every kind of delicacy and entertainment has either been invented or the invention is just around the corner. And God's people, as well as the wicked people of the earth, are caught up in the things of this world without ever realizing that they are committing idolatry.
We hope you are enjoying today's message. If you would like a copy of today's program, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
We know that lightning is an electrical current. Actually, it is an electrical discharge, and this electrical discharge is a form of energy, which is power. Energy causes work to take place. We also know that lightning has an extremely high heat index, and anything struck directly by lightning is easily consumed by the intense heat that is produced by the electrical discharge. Now, it's fairly simple to understand how fire could descend upon an animal sacrifice and consume it. But then, what I'm trying to explain to you has little to do with the scientific explanation of lightning. What I am trying to explain is that lightning is fire, and it comes from above. At the time of Elijah, the control of electrical energy was not understood by the people of Earth. If they had understood the concepts of electrical energy, the prophets of Baal could easily have caused their sacrifice to be consumed by fire. However, in these last days, the power of lightning has been discovered and harnessed. What Satan could not accomplish on Mount Carmel in the days of Elijah is accomplished today at the push of a button. What I want you to see is that Revelation 13:13 was a prophecy written almost 2,000 years ago in order to give a warning message to God's children. And for most of those 2,000 years, the warning message was not necessary. But today, the fire of the heaven has been harnessed by Earth's people, and the result is that tremendous energy has been placed into the hands of mankind. However, mankind has not used the power of electricity to glorify God, nor have they used it to stimulate the spirit man. Earth's people have used the power of electricity to create inventions which are aimed at stimulating our natural bodies instead of stimulating us with spiritual things. Now, you may not comprehend anything I'm saying. However, just take a minute and think of it this way. To put it simply, lightning is fire, which comes down from above. It comes down from heaven. Fire is heat. Heat is energy, and energy is power. The people of Earth have been given power, but this power is not the spoken word of God. This power is the result of the physical sciences of Earth. What I want you to see is that these last days are the days of Elijah. No, not quite the time of Elijah's showdown on Mount Carmel, but the days of famine, which preceded the showdown. As I quoted from the book of Amos, it's not a famine for food, but a famine for the Word of God. We, the church, have gone so far from God that we no longer realize how much we really are serving Satan. Just as the people of Israel in the days of Elijah were ignorant of who they were really serving, so is the Christian church largely ignorant of just how much we serve the God of this world. In order to serve the Almighty God of heaven and earth, we must set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. However, the extreme power that we earth people have because of the harnessing of the fire from above causes us to revel in the luxuries of earth rather than to enjoy the spiritual things of God. The miracle of the second beast of Revelation of pulling fire down from heaven has already taken place.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 147, Pulling Fire Down from Heaven. We also have extensive studies available on the prophecies of Revelation, including such topics as the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the rapture. As always, there is no charge for any of our material. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. That's preparationministries, all one word, .net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries@gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.